Good evening, everybody. It's good to see everybody back out this evening. Please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 8, and we'll begin looking at some verses there in a minute. I was on the phone this afternoon with our son Chris, and while I was on the phone with him, I got a text from somebody else, and it was about somebody that I know in Dayton. He's a very successful businessman, a third-generation business owner. He's got a place in Dayton, Westchester, Cincinnati, Louisville, Columbus, Indianapolis. And the text message was to let me know that he died. This person sent it to me to let me know he died of a heart attack. And he's a few years younger than I am. And I was saying in the sermon this morning, we never know when our last day is going to be. And I've known this man for a number of years. I would have never thought if someone said, guess who died, that it would be Randy. But he fell over with a heart attack. And none of us know when our last day is going to be. So we need to be diligently serving the Lord. It's good to see everyone that is back. I like the time change. It's nice having the way it is. I was joking with someone this morning. It's like you won't have an excuse tonight since there'll be plenty of light, but she's got car problems and why she isn't driving as much here. But hopefully that will change too. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 9. But there is a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Simon could tell the difference between something that was fake and something that was real. Simon could perform magic, sleight of hand, different things that astonished the people of Samaria. But when he saw Philip, he knew that Philip had the real thing. I want us to consider this evening, is it real or is it fake? And when we think about religion, there is so much fake religion out there, but can people spot it? Can we spot what is fake or what is real? I think one of the problems that we have in convincing people that they need to be saved is they don't realize that they are lost. They think that whatever religion they are in is just fine. That what they are in is a counterfeit religion. Now, not all counterfeits are bad. Maybe you want a leather sofa, but you find one that's vinyl that looks like leather, and you can save yourself thousands and thousands of dollars. That's not bad. But when it comes to religion, when the most precious thing is at stake, our soul, if we have a counterfeit religion, it will cost us our soul. Back in 1 Kings 12, we have the account of Jeroboam. Jeroboam the king, and he was going to change the religion. He changed the form of worship. He changed the place. Instead of Jerusalem, he changed it to Shechem and Dan. He changed the object of worship. He changed it from God to golden calves. He changed the time of worship. He changed it from the 7th month and 15th day to the 8th month and 15th day. He changed the priest in the religion from the tribe of Levi to any tribe. Jeroboam's worship was corrupt. It was counterfeit. It was through and through. Jeroboam's worship was of Satan and not of God. And you do know And we need to stress to people that there are counterfeit gods out there, and they might be worshiping a counterfeit god. In 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 4, "Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one." There is only one true God. So we need to ask people that question. Do you serve the one and only true God? Well, how do you know which God you worship? We want to worship the one that created the universe, the one that made you and made me, and the one that revealed himself in the Word. But many people have worshipped and are worshipping false gods, counterfeit gods. Over the years, and in the Old Testament, they were called pagan gods. God speaks in Isaiah 43 and 10. "You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there is no God formed, nor shall there be after me." God is the one and only true and living God, Jehovah. I am he. Before me there is no God formed, nor shall there be after me. Jehovah, he's the only genuine true God. That's the one that we want to worship. That's the one that we need to get everybody else to say to worship. But somebody will say, well, preacher, we don't serve pagan gods today. We've advanced beyond that. But friend, we do serve false gods. That's the first point I want us to consider. We serve false gods. And I'm going to just look at a list of false things in the Bible that refer to religion and worship. But we do have false gods today. We touched on it briefly in the lesson this morning, talking about humanism, the traditions of men being led captive, spoiled, led astray, where they're trying to steal or spoil our souls. But consider the God of education. So many people today serve the God of education. Is education wrong? No. It's good to have an education, but you don't want to worship education, and especially worship education to the point of ignoring God. You see, people, they may be out of school 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and they're still buying emblems of their school and displaying them on their clothes and their cars and any and everywhere, or they may have graduated 30 years ago and they still want you to know that I got this degree from this college. Again, there's nothing wrong with education, but we don't want to make it in a God and worship it today. And so many people do that. There's another God, false God, the God of mammon, of money. People serve money today and try to get everything they can. Back to the person I was speaking of at the beginning of the service, he was a very wealthy man. Very wealthy man. I've been to his business in Dayton before, and his office was upstairs, and he would have several people just waiting to get to talk to him, to pitch an idea to him, or to do business with him. He was worth a lot of money. What's he worth now? All that money is worth nothing. Nothing. Not a thing at all. You can work and accumulate everything. The day you die, the day Christ comes back, again, if you live in a tent, you live in a mansion, they're going to be worth the same thing, because they're going to be gone. They're going to be gone. We don't want to worship a false god today. We want to worship the only true God, Jehovah. So we need to get people to understand that there are false gods still today. But also, the Bible teaches that there are false Christ. In 2 Corinthians 11:4, "For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Okay, so he who comes preaches another Jesus, a false Jesus, whom we have not preached. Do people do that today? Yeah, they preach a false Jesus, and they get people, they fill their buildings preaching that false doctrine, something that makes people feel comfortable. And I love everybody here, but I want you to feel a little uncomfortable. If we don't feel a little uncomfortable, we aren't going to change our lives. We're just going to keep living, going through the same motions, and we aren't going to focus on Christ. But that false Christ, that false Jesus, he'll let you live any way you want to. You just do whatever you want to, and that's okay. You'll go to heaven. That's a false Christ. And people are being deceived by it. This was going on at the time of the first century also. The Judaizers preached a false Christ and told the Gentiles that they had to keep the law of Christ and keep it perfectly. That's impossible. The only person that kept the law perfectly was Jesus Christ himself. They would bind circumcision on the Gentiles. They were legalist in so many ways, being very strict. Jesus provides grace. Some people will take that grace and preach a false Christ, that grace covers everything. Some will preach that Jesus was just a man. That's a false Christ. To say that Jesus was just a man, that is a false Christ. Christ is the Son of God. He was born of a virgin. On the third day, he arose from the dead. You know, we accept that as a known fact. But there are many people in the world that look at you like, well, what do you mean? It's a false Christ. Also, we need to get people to understand that there are false apostles. There were false apostles back in the first century. There are false apostles today. 2 Corinthians 11:13 says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ." So they would claim to be apostles of Christ, but Paul says they are false apostles. And that is one of the reasons, too, one of the reasons why a lot of people didn't accept Paul as an apostle. He was born out of due time, but they knew that there were other false apostles at that time. Well, how would you know if an apostle was true or if an apostle was not a true apostle? Like we said this morning, you test them. You test them. Revelation 2:2. "I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars." We test people. We don't just swallow what they say. If someone claims that he is an apostle, he needs to establish himself as an apostle. So when you would test them, how would they prove that? They would prove it by the signs of an apostle. 2 Corinthians 12:12. "Truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance, and signs and wonders and mighty deeds." How could a man prove that he was an apostle? By the miracles. An apostle could prove himself by the miracles. Many people today claim to be apostles. Can they work miracles? They can't work miracles. What was one of the other qualifications of being an apostle? They had to witness the resurrected Christ. They had to be an eyewitness. Do we have anybody living today that has witnessed that? No. There are false apostles out there. So when we're talking to our friends about religion, And they think that everything is the same and everything is okay. We've got to get them to see that there are false gods, there's false Christs, there's false apostles. It's been true since back in the Bible. Well, something else that is false, there are false teachers. 2 Peter 2:1, but there are also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. False teachers. You mean there's false teachers in the church? Yeah. There's false teachers in the church. You go up and down New Lebanon, Dayton, Eaton, Brookville, Englewood, anywhere around, there's false teachers. There has been, there are, there will be. We've got to get our friends, our families to open their eyes and show them that the Bible talks about, teaches that there are false teachers out there, and we have to weigh and test what they say. There's going to be false teachers outside of the church. There's going to be false teachers inside of the church. And again, how do we know if he's a false teacher? You put him to the test. You take what he says and you put it up beside what God's word says, and you weigh the two. If he says the same thing that the Bible says, he's speaking the truth. If he says something different than what the Bible says, he's a false teacher. Romans 16, 17, and 18. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Have you ever seen anybody like that? You can turn on the TV and it's not hard to find them. They'll talk smooth words. They'll have a great big smile from ear to ear. They'll say flattering things, smooth words, flattering speech. And what does Paul say here? They are deceiving the hearts of the simple. Have you ever met anybody that came up to you and introduced themselves as a false teacher? I don't think any of us have ever had that happen to us, but they're out there. They're out there everywhere. And again, we need to get our friends to be aware of that. They are false teachers. Again, we test them by what they teach. This morning we looked at Acts 20, 28 through 31, where Paul was addressing the elders at Ephesus, and he warned them, "After my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn you, everyone, night and day, with tears." It's a serious matter. It's a serious matter. Christ wants his church, his body, to be pure. How do we do that? We watch. We watch. The church today needs strong elders. It needs strong preachers. It needs strong members. Everybody needs to be strong. Everybody needs to be strong. Another thing that is false in the religious world, the Bible speaks of a false gospel. A false gospel. Galatians 1, let's turn there and look at Galatians 1. I marvel, verse 6, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was it taught, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. So again, we see there's a true gospel, and then men will try to pervert it, to change it to another gospel, a false gospel. You hear people talk about seeing a vision or hearing a voice or an angel said something to them. And Paul, he says, even if we or an angel from heaven preaches something to you other than what is in God's word, don't believe him. That's a false gospel. And again, you think about just the concept of angels teaching people. You never find where an angel taught somebody or saved somebody. The gospel is in earthen vessels, in men. They would tell the person to go to this person and you will be told what you must do to be saved. Even when Christ appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus, you'd think if any event would save somebody, Christ appearing to him would save him, but no, it didn't. It didn't. He had to go and hear a man tell him what he needed to do to be saved. And that man told him, we know, he told him to be baptized because that's what Saul ended up doing. But in verse 10, do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? If I pleased men, if I told you things you wanted to hear, then I wouldn't be a servant of God. Because if I'm a servant of God, I have to tell what God says in his word. And this gospel, I didn't receive it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's how we get to the gospel. But there are false gospels out there. There's only one gospel, but Satan wants to pervert it. You ask people today and they would say that there are many gospels. But consider this, there's only one gospel that will save someone. It's powerful enough to blast man out of sin and sin out of man. God's gospel is the only gospel that will save you. Not the gospel of morality. Well, my neighbor, he's a really good man. I know he's going to be saved. That gospel won't save a person. Not the gospel of the traditions of men. What is the one gospel that's going to save somebody today? It's the gospel that Peter preached to the Jews on the day of Pentecost. It's the gospel that Philip preached to the Ethiopian on the road to Samaria. That's the gospel that's going to save somebody today. Not the modern social gospel. That is going to send people the opposite direction. It will not save you. We used to hear people talking about the old Jerusalem gospel. And again, there are so many phrases, I don't know if people just think that they're old and they want to come up with some new phrase to try to get people to think about it differently. But what we need is the old Jerusalem gospel. A lot of preachers just preach the social gospel. The people that were here this morning, I'm glad they were here. I hope they come back. And he said, what do you have for the young people? What do you have for the young people? People are looking for a social gospel, something to meet the needs of society or family. If we had a social gospel, what would we preach to them? What do you preach about the social gospel? Friends, what we need to do is to preach the news about Christ. We need to preach the news about Christ because people are lost. And Christ is the only one that can save men. It's okay to talk about psychology. It's okay to talk about finance. It's okay to talk about politics, but not from the pulpit. We need to preach the gospel of Christ. And again, we need to show our family, our friends. That's what they should be hearing in the church that they are going to. If they aren't, what are they listening to? What are they listening to? They need to hear that man is a sinner, that we are alienated from God, that Jesus died to reconcile us, to reunite us back to God. But the devil perverts that gospel, and he turns it into something that's smooth and soothing and tickles people's ears. So we've got false gods, false Christ, false apostles, false teachers, false gospel. What else is false? We've got, the Bible speaks of false brethren, false brethren. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians 2, beginning at verse 1. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and also took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. So the Bible speaks of false brethren. Do we have any false brethren here? I don't think so. I hope we don't. What do we do to keep them out? Again, we test them. We try them. Whatever a man says, we open it up, the God's word, and compare him, his word, to what they say. We don't accept or receive false brethren. We don't talk, we don't compromise with error. We don't agree to disagree. Did you ever read where Jesus or the apostles came across somebody that believed something differently and they said, well, okay, I know we aren't going to come to agreement on this, so let's just agree to disagree. No, you'll never find it in the Bible. He would call these religious people hypocrites, hypocrites, and he would let them have it. Woe unto you. And he would tell them that they were going to be lost because they had rejected Christ. You don't get into a meeting with error, and you see so many of these unity meetings where people come together, want to join hands. I mentioned this before, but there was a preacher went to a small town. He was going to hold a gospel meeting in town. It was a real small place. One night, he preached that to be saved, all you had to do was believe. Next night, he preached that you had to be baptized to be saved. The next night, he preached that you had to be sprinkled to be baptized to be saved. Next night, he preached you had to be immersed to be saved. And before the last night, some of the other preachers, the religious people from the city, came to him and pulled him aside. And he said, friend, you know, you're crazy. You can't preach all of these different doctrines. And he said, but that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. Because the town was preaching everything different, but they agreed to just agree and get along. And he proved to them that they were wrong in trying to unite in their differences. You can't do that. When another illustration I remember from so many years ago, and you ask young people today, and they probably don't even know what a clothesline is, but I heard the preacher say, he was talking about the difference in unity and union coming together. He said, you take two tomcats, you tie their tails together, you hang them over a clothesline, you've got a union, but you don't have unity. There's no unity with that. But we have false brethren today preaching the grace gospel. They preach fellowship. Anybody that's been baptized, doesn't matter where they've been baptized, what they've been baptized for, they've been baptized, we'll just fellowship them. That's false brethren. Instrumental music. people. Let's fellowship places that have instrumental music. And friends, instrumental music was wrong 100 years ago. It's wrong today. If the earth stands 100 years from now, it'll be wrong. People need to know that. There are false religions out there. People preach, brethren preach that Jesus is coming back again to reign on the earth. It's false. You cannot find it in the Bible. We've got to get people to go back to the Bible and see what it says. Something else that's false, a false organization. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 9, I know your works, your tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know of the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but they are a synagogue of Satan. In Revelation 3:9, indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie, indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. So he says, who say they are Jews and are not. Who say they are Jews and are not. That's a false organization. You can't call yourself the true church and be organized the wrong way. You can't call yourself one thing and that makes it so. What do you have for it to be so? You have to have all the right components. All the right components. If I had a Ford Pinto and I got a Lincoln Continental sticker and put on that Ford Pinto, would that make it a Lincoln Continental? No. But what do people do? They put the name, the Lord's Church, Church of Jesus, Church of Christ, Church of God. It's got the name, doesn't have the right components. People need to see that's false. That's a false organization. You cannot have the wrong head and be right. You can't have the head of some man that started an organization and it be right. You cannot teach the wrong thing and be right. Matthew 16:18, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. There's just one church, Christ's church, that he built. Psalm 127:1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards a city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Think about it this way. The church is a vineyard. Think about a physical vineyard. Think about the church. What if you went to work in a vineyard and you thought you were supposed to be working in this vineyard, but you went and you worked in this vineyard, and at the end of the time that you worked there, you went and went to the man, that the owner, and said, I want my pay. And he said, you're in the wrong vineyard. I didn't hire you to work. What if somebody went to mow a yard or paint a house and they went to the wrong property and they worked hard. And then they went up and knocked on the door and I said, you can pay me now. And they say, I didn't hire you. I don't know who you are. And we understand that. But think about the religious world. There are people working in the wrong vineyard. They're mowing the wrong yards. They're painting the wrong houses. And they're going to stand before Jesus on the day of judgment and say, it's time to pay me. He'll say, depart from me. I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. It's the wrong organization. Just because it says the church of whatever meets here, is it organized right? Does it have the right components? We can work all our life in the wrong vineyard and have no promise of an eternal reward. If I worked all my life in the Baptist church and I did good, as much good as I can in the Baptist church, and on the day of judgment I said, Jesus, look at all that I've done for you. And he said, you worked in the wrong vineyard. You worked in the wrong church. We understand that. That's a counterfeit. That's a counterfeit. There are so many counterfeit things out there. Just one other thing to mention. There are false miracles, counterfeit miracles. 2 Thessalonians 2:9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. There are things out there that may be hard to explain, but Satan in some way is working to deceive people with all power, signs, and lying wonders. But you know what? They could spot, in the first century, they could spot a true miracle. There's no doubt about it. Simon the sorcerer, back where we started, he could spot a true miracle. He knew that Philip had the truth, the genuine, the real thing. There's counterfeit religion everywhere. We need to educate our family, our friends. We need to show them from God's word that this isn't all just talking about everybody living together in peace and happiness, but there are men out there trying. Satan has his ministers trying to undo the plain plan of gospel salvation. So can we spot a real or a fake religion? I think we can. I think we all know enough how to do that. But I wanted to present this. It goes along with the lesson this morning, talking about how someone is going to try to spoil or take our soul. We need to just be aware of these things so that we can share them with others and hopefully get some of them to see that the truth of God's word. Is there anybody here this evening that their life isn't right? Whether you haven't been baptized or whether you have, like I said, the message I got this afternoon, I wouldn't have expected it. You know, he's just a couple years younger than I am, and he fell over with a heart attack. Am I trying to scare you? No. I'm just trying to get us all to realize that we have no promise, no guarantee of tomorrow. Not one guarantee at all. We've got to live for Jesus today. Today is the day of salvation. If there's anybody that needs to be obedient and respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.
I have the wrong numbers up there. It should be 5.